right, guys, is Israel in greater danger than ever with the current administration's transition to a new administration coming in the near future? We're going to talk about that today on today's podcast. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? It is Friday, July 26th. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And of course, I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We welcome everybody that's listening, that's watching, whatever platform you may be watching or listening from. Do us a favor, let us know in the comment section below that you are new, if you're able to comment, and where you guys are joining us from. Look, before we get started on tonight's program, I need you to do me a favor. It's only going to take a real quick second. Please hit that like button. This is going to help us push our material out on these platforms so other eyes can see our content. And you can help us do that by simply smashing that like button. And again, you could take it a step further if you'd like to keep up with us here on YouTube or Rumble or whatever platform you'll be watching on social media. Hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification, and then to top it all off, this is the best way you can keep up with our ministry. If you want to catch every podcast, every headline, every breaking news, all the prophecy viewpoints, we want to encourage you to pick up our free app. You can find it on your Apple store, your Android store, again, depending on what you have and your device and whatever operating system you have, just go to your Play Store and then look for our official ETH logo. Type in End Time Headlines. You should find it right there on your screen. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be squared away. You're going to be good to go. You're going to have everything right at your fingertips. So many of you guys, many of our regular viewers and listeners, you know that we have continually warned about the mistreatment of the nation of Israel when it comes to former presidential administrations, former leaders of America. There's been a long track record of these leaders and their administrations giving the cold shoulder to the nation of Israel, shunning them, and trying to divide Jerusalem or dividing Israel and the repercussions that would follow with that. Now, we base that on, to give you the cliff notes of this, Genesis chapter 12 talks about the covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants. He tells Abraham clearly, and the Lord says, this will be an effect to perpetual generations, meaning that this is a covenant that's been established with Abraham and all of his descendants, and it never ends. There is never a ceasement to that that covenant. And he says, I will bless those who bless the nation of Israel, and I will curse those who curse the nation of Israel. Now, having said that, that is a principle that's set in motion. It's a covenant with God that God made with the nation of Israel. And every nation, every world leader, every administration, every governmental leader, it doesn't even matter, even if it's outside of America, that's ever tried to come against the nation of Israel has either ceased to exist or they have been crippled by a plethora of judgments, plagues, famines, disasters, economic collapse, civil unrest, the deterioration morally, civilly, economically, whatever the case may be. There's a long track record in history of this. Then we know, according to prophecy, I'm setting you up because I've got some stuff I want to talk to you about today that I think we need to be in prayer about. We need to pay attention. We need to watch this because I think we're getting a little sneak preview of what's coming. I think it's going to be worse than the previous administration. We get, as we get further along and we get to the latter days of the Messiah's return, we discover that the prophet Zechariah and Joel both said that nations themselves, entire nations, would enter into judgment on the account of their mistreatment of the nation of Israel. You can find this reference in Joel chapter 3. Joel tells us that the nations of the world will be handpicked by God himself. They'll be brought to a place called Megiddo, Armageddon. And this is a place where there will be a final war, and they will be judged on the account of their mistreatment to the nation of Israel and dividing Jerusalem. Then, of course, we go to Zechariah 12, and the prophet tells us that Israel, especially Jerusalem, in the latter days will become a burdensome stone. It will be a heavy stone that will try to be heaved away by nations, but it will become a stumbling block to them. The Bible calls it a cup of drunkenness. The nations that attempt to try to heave it away will be, and again, I give you the words of Zechariah, they will be broken in pieces. Now, guys, when you break that down in the Hebrew, broken in pieces, this is a reference to the judgment of God. God has a way. You go and read the book of Jeremiah, you read the book of Isaiah, and you will discover that God has a way of breaking nations into pieces through his judgments, through the wrath of God. Sodom and Gomorrah was completely broken in pieces, if you would. They were consumed by fire and brimstone because of the abominations in which they committed against the Lord. You look at Capernaum, Chorazin, and Bethsaida, these three cities in Israel. They were warned in the gospel, I believe it's in the gospel of Matthew. Jesus said it'll be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for those three cities. Because where little is known, little is required. Where much is known, much is required. And those three cities, Jesus said there will be judgment that will come against them because of, again, the way they responded to the gospel, the way they treated Yeshua the Messiah, and again, the way they responded to Israel themselves. Like, they completely rejected the prophets. They shed the blood of the prophets. So again, this has been in perpetual motion. And now we know that under the Biden administration, when ever since Israel was attacked in October of last year, in 2023, we know that the ball seems to have been set in motion, wherein which there's been a lot of political pressure, international pressure from the United Nations, world leaders, and howbeit the president of the United States, again, at that time was Joe Biden, but now we know the baton's being passed. But under the Biden administration, he slowly started distancing himself from Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel, and going as far as to even threaten Israel, telling them, look, back off, retrieve your forces, pull back, or we will cut off our military weapons supplies to your nation. And they did. They cut off certain weapons. They cut off the supply of certain equipment to the nation of Israel. There was many mainstream media publications that came out and leaked information, reports, testimonies, phone calls, conversations that Biden had in secret with Benjamin Netanyahu, where, again, from all the reports saying that Biden pretty much threatened Netanyahu. He rebuked him. He warned him. He gave him a red line. He said, we will not support you. We will not stand for this. So we already seen that happening with the Biden administration. So now everybody knows this by now, that Biden is stepping aside, and he is passing the torch to what we believe is his vice president, Kamala Harris. And there is, again, As of the recording of this on Friday, July 26, 2024, it appears anyway that she will be the main presidential nominee. Now, it is yet to be seen who her vice president choice will be, though there is many speculation on who that could be. We still don't have a solid confirmation on who her VP choice is. But if we were to get a sneak preview or a prelude of how she's going to handle Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, then I think we just saw this play in motion. Here's a recent headline from Politico. Washington gives Israeli leader the cold shoulder. And it even says Netanyahu, W-H-O question mark. Who? Look what it says right here. If you guys can read this. Let me change the camera angle here. Some aides on Capitol Hill say they completely forgot about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's visit this week. As Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrived in Washington, his arrival was met mostly with eye rolls and shoulder shrugs on Capitol Hill. Netanyahu, as we know, addressed Congress, and I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to show you some clips from that in just a second. Netanyahu addressed Congress, which was a monumental event that would normally take up the entire political oxygen in Washington in the weeks leading up. However, it appears that aides on both sides of the aisle needed to be reminded that he was even coming. Listen to this. A senior House aide said, quote, "I had someone ask me what I thought Netanyahu would say in his speech, and I had to stop and think for a minute to realize that that was this week. Quote, I had completely forgotten it was happening." Now, of course, their excuse of this was because all of the events that transpired leading up to this, the U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump was almost killed while another dropped out of the race a week later. Netanyahu, quote, hasn't really been able to get the traction and the airtime that he would have expected, according to the White House aide. A third aide in the Senate underscored the impact the news cycles had, saying that Netanyahu's visit is, quote, barely registering on the Hill. All were granted. And now, of course, on Capitol Hill, Democratic lawmakers weighed in whether or not they would even attend the address. Let me show you another clip or an article from this. Over 30 congressmen, including Kamala Harris, did not attend the prime minister's address to Congress. Let me say that again. Think about that. Over 30 congressmen, including and this is a scary thought, but just hold with me for a second, could be the next president of the United States of America didn't even attend the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's address to Congress. Look, you know who else wasn't? J.D. Vance was also not in attendance. The vice presidential candidate that's been selected for Trump. Now, of course, Harris was deeply criticized by several Israeli officials for her absence there. They told the Telegraph that they consider it evidence that she is, quote, unable to distinguish between good and evil, and that skipping the speech is not a way to treat an ally. That's a heavy statement right there. So again, notice these Israeli leaders and officials recognize the mistreatment of America's greatest ally, and look who it's coming from. Now, Harris had a lot to say about the Netanyahu meeting. Let's check out a little bit of video clips on this and listen what she said to Benjamin Netanyahu.
"We want to take you live to the White House where Vice President Kamala Harris is speaking to reporters after meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
How it does so matters. Hamas is a brutal terrorist organization. On October 7, Hamas triggered this war when it massacred 1,200 innocent people, including 44 Americans. Hamas has committed horrific acts of sexual violence and took 250 hostages. There are American citizens who remain captive in Gaza. Hostages multiple times now. Stand with also express death of far too many innocent civilians. Minister, my serious concern about the scale of human suffering in Gaza, including the death of far too many innocent civilians. And I made clear my serious concern about the dire humanitarian situation there, with over 2 million people facing high levels of food insecurity, and 500,000 people facing catastrophic levels of acute food insecurity. What has happened in Gaza over the past 9 months is devastating. The images of dead children and desperate, hungry people fleeing for safety, sometimes displaced for the second, third, or fourth time. We cannot look away in the face of these tragedies. We cannot allow ourselves to become numb to the suffering, and I will not be silent. Thanks to the leadership of our President Joe Biden, there is a deal on the table for a ceasefire and a hostage deal.
Okay, so there's a deal on the table for a ceasefire and a hostage deal.
And it is important that we recall what the deal involves. The first phase of the deal would bring about a full ceasefire, including a withdrawal of the Israeli military from population centers in Gaza.
Okay, so Israel is going to be demanded to withdraw their troops from Gaza. Listen to this carefully.
In the second phase, the Israeli military would withdraw from Gaza entirely.
So, first phase, withdraw your troops. Second phase, withdraw your troops entirely from Gaza.
And it would lead to a permanent end to the hostility.
So, according to Harris and her administration, if Israel removes all their troops entirely in two phases, it would end permanently all hostility in the area, in the location. Now, do you actually believe that, folks? You believe that by Israel withdrawing all their troops, that Hamas and Hezbollah and all of these terror factions are just going to set down their arms and say, hey, guys, the troops have withdrawn. They're completely out. So it's peace and it's blessed. So this, again, is amazing because all the pressure goes on Israel. Israel is being forced to be disarmed. Israel is being forced to disengage and to retract their army in the name of peace. This is huge, guys. This is huge news.
It is time for this war to end. And end in a way where Israel is secure, all the hostages are released, the suffering of Palestinians in Gaza ends, and the Palestinian people can exercise their right to freedom, dignity, and self-determination. There has been hopeful movement in the talks to secure an agreement on this deal. And as I just told Prime Minister Netanyahu, it is time to get this deal done.
Wow. It's time to get this deal done.
So to everyone who has been calling for a ceasefire and to everyone who yearns for peace, I see you and I hear you. Let's get the deal done so we can get a ceasefire to end the war.
Okay, so remember, she's saying, I hear you. I see you. I see your demand for peace. And this is the proposal. The proposal is Israel must disarm, they must disengage, they must withdraw their troops, and this is going to bring peace and security to that whole area, to that whole region. And then Palestinians will live in a utopia. There'll be peace, there'll be no more kidnappings, there'll be no more hostages, there'll be no more violence, there'll be no more terroristic attacks. Guys, this is just absolute madness. But again, what have we told you? We've warned you that I've said this from the get-go, that something has to lead to this false sense of peace and security. Something, eventually you go to Ezekiel 38, 39. Remember, it says in that war, we're not there yet, but in that Gog-Magog war, Israel is dwelling in a place of safety without bars, without gates, without security. They are living in a false sense of security when that war takes place. So something has to lead to that point. where they have completely lowered their guard. Is this the beginning of this? I don't know. We're going to see how this goes.
Let's bring the hostages home, and let's provide much-needed relief to the Palestinian people. And ultimately, I remain committed to a path forward that can lead to a two-state solution.
There we go. Which, again, means the dividing of Israel and Jerusalem.
And I know right now it is hard to conceive of that prospect, but a two-state solution is the only path that ensures Israel remains a secure Jewish and democratic state, and one that ensures Palestinians can finally realize the freedom, security, and prosperity that they rightly deserve.
Now stop. Remember, when you go to Daniel 9:27, let me pull it up. Remember, we've talked about this many times. When you go to Daniel 9:27, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will break that covenant and his true colors will be seen. Okay, so again, what do we know here? There's already going to be in motion a treaty. There will already be a treaty in motion that will be with Israel and the nations around her, and it will be in the name of peace and security. So the Antichrist comes. Notice it says he doesn't establish a covenant or a treaty. He confirms a covenant. To confirm something means it's already been laid. The groundwork has been laid, and he just comes along and puts his stamp of approval on it. So that's what. So this right here with what she's saying. So what she's saying right here, guys, could very well be the beginning of one of these series of covenants or treaties that will be put in place, where Israel will let down their guard and be in a sense of safety and a false sense of security and peace. All right, let's check out some of these clips. Again, this is some of the clips from the speech that Netanyahu gave.
This is not a clash of civilizations. It's a clash between barbarism and civilization. For the forces of civilization to triumph, America and Israel must stand.
And of course, a member of the squad there with her sign calling Netanyahu a war criminal.
Together. October 7th is a day that will forever live in infamy. 3,000 Hamas terrorists stormed into Israel. They butchered 1,200 people from 41 countries. That's like 29/11s in one day. For Israel, every civilian death is a tragedy. For Hamas, it's a strategy. They actually want Palestinian civilians to die so that Israel will be smeared in the international media and be pressured to end the war before it's won. This would enable Hamas to survive another day, and as they vowed, to carry out October 7th again and again and again. I want to assure you, no matter what pressure is brought to bear, I will never allow that to happen. President Biden and I have known each other for over 40 years. I want to thank him for half a century of friendship to Israel and for being, as he says, a proud Zionist. Actually, he says a proud Irish-American Zionist. I want to thank President Biden for his tireless efforts on behalf of the hostages and for his efforts to the hostage families as well. I also want to thank President Trump for all the things he did for Israel, from recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights to confronting Iran's aggression, to recognizing Jerusalem as our capital and moving the American embassy there. For Iran, Israel is first, America is next. So when Israel fights Hamas, we're fighting Iran. Despite all the lies you've heard, the war in Gaza has one of the lowest ratios of combatants to non-combatants casualties in the history of urban warfare. I have a message for these protesters. When the tyrants of Tehran, who hang gays from cranes and murder women for not covering their hair, are praising, promoting, and funding you, you have officially become Iran's useful idiots. Some of these...
Wow. That's a strong statement right there. But listen to the truth of that. There is so much truth to that.
Hold up signs proclaiming gays for Gaza They might as well hold up signs saying chickens for KFC. This is an exceptional moment. Fast-tracking U.S. military aid can dramatically expedite an end to the war in Gaza and help prevent a broader war in the Middle East. A new Gaza could emerge. My vision for that day is of a demilitarized and de-radicalized Gaza. Israel does not seek to resettle Gaza, but for the foreseeable future, we must retain overriding security control there to prevent the resurgence of terror, to ensure that Gaza never again poses a threat to Israel.
Wow. So again, why are we talking about this? Because again, this is of great importance biblically, because we went over this all at the beginning of this. If you're just joining us, you need to go back and watch the very beginning of this podcast. We talked about that. There, God has a covenant with the nation of Israel. He warns that those who try to curse Israel, they try to destroy Israel. They have a long track record, long history of empires and nations and world leaders that no longer exist because they try to rise up against Israel and try to destroy Israel. And again, this includes, friend, even Western leaders that, again, try to turn their back on Israel, shun Israel, forget Israel, give them a cold shoulder, whatever the case may be, or push politically for the division of Jerusalem, causing a division, a literal division. There will be great repercussions for this. So it's interesting to me. So we've talked about, guys, this is going to get, it's going to get crazier and crazier. Politically speaking, in my 47 years of living, I've never seen a political year that is this inflammatory, that is this volatile. I've never seen it, and it's getting worse and worse. Look at this article. Let me close. I'm getting ready to close this podcast tonight, but give me this last story. I'm going to show you this just to give you an example of what we're talking about. Look at this. A pastor is facing death threats and was forced to go into hiding. What in the world could he have done to receive death threats and be forced to go in hiding? He revealed his political beliefs. Oh, and I'll let you guess. Take a wild guess of what he revealed publicly is his political beliefs before we actually get into the article. He said, quote, "I reject the victimhood mentality." Pastor Corey Brooks is a fixture in Chicago. Well, there's a shock. The fact that he is receiving the backlash and persecution that he is no surprise, because he's coming out of Chicago. The popular preacher is affectionately known as the rooftop pastor. He is known for this because of his valiant efforts to create a much-needed community center, a goal that led him to live atop a building for nearly 1 year to spark awareness and raise funds. Brooks, who himself is an African-American preacher with deep community roots, ended up raising tens of millions of dollars for his transformational community and opportunity center, which is now under construction. But he was recently in the headlines for delivering a closing prayer during the Republican National Convention and for penning a Fox News op-ed titled, quote, "I reject the victimhood mentality Democrats want me to accept." That's why this black pastor is a Republican. And when he made this statement, let's listen to the repercussions for this. Let me read a little bit more of this before we do that. Brooks explained during his speech what happened to him years ago when people found out he's a conservative, a revelation he said didn't go over too well for him. Being in a Democratic stronghold city that would be Chicago and state, I underestimated the response drastically. This is what he told Billy Hollowell's Higher Ground podcast on CBN or Faithwire. I thought it would be okay. You know how people are free to have an option. Brooke quickly learned just how unpalatable some found his views as he faced death threats and intense anger. The pastor said he went from about 2,000 strong to 500, so over 1,500 members left his church. And it was not because of a result of sin. It wasn't the result of somebody doing something wrong. It was a result of his political beliefs that were made public and the onslaught of attacks that people launched against him. He went on to say that, quote, "Our family had to go into hiding for several weeks," He said it was really bad. People found out about Brooks' views after he publicly supported a Republican candidate running for governor, and his approval was promoted on social media and through through other avenues. Quote, that's where people really found out, okay, he's a Republican. Not only is he a Republican, but he has conservative views. And that launched a, quote, onslaught of attack. It was so bad that the pastor said that he felt like he was betrayed. And he said it even sparked depression for him. I mean, think about that, guys. That would be a hard blow to lose. If you had a congregation of 2,000 people and the next Sunday you come after you give your speech and it's been shaved down to 500 people, you have lost more than, 70% of your congregation. But you know what? I'm sure he's never going to hear this message that I'm going to tell him. But, you know, this is what happened prior to the day of Pentecost. The Bible says when you study this out, there was over 500 brethren that were in the upper room before the day of Pentecost. They were there and they were told to wait until they're endued with the promise from upon high. The promise of the Father would come in the upper room that day. So we know the story, Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, there was not 500, there was only 120 that remained. So they lost 380 people. Where did they go? Again, we don't know. Did they get weary? Did they throw in the towel? Did they give up? Did they get impatient? Did they get distracted? What happened to them? But it went from 500 to 120. 380 people gone, departed, left. And so, you know what I've discovered in life? It many times before God multiplies you and increases you, he always brings a subtraction. Oh, I could preach a whole message on this. Come on. God will many times tell you to cut this away, get rid of that, stand away from this, depart from them, depart from that place, leave this behind, go out from a place that you're familiar with and go to uncharted territories that you're not familiar with. He calls you, come on, to leave familiarity to navigate through unfamiliar territory. And I can find this all through scripture where great men of God, come on, went through seasons of wilderness, loneliness, separation, come on, subtraction, and all this. But when they come out on the other side, come on, they had greater, they had more anointing, they had a more powerful ministry, and God used them mightily in Jesus' name. So, you know what? I believe great things are in store for this pastor because of his strength, his unwavering attitude and mentality, that he's not going to back down from his beliefs, but he's going to stand for what he believes. So, but the point is, don't miss what I'm saying here. This is how you're going to see this craziness. We're already seeing it every political, election cycle. You see this. Look at on social media. Look at the division. Look at the strife. Look at the discord. Look at the verbal attacks and insults. And I'm unfriended you. And I'm not talking to you. I know families, guys, people in families that don't even communicate with each other because of politics. And again, I said this on one podcast before. I refuse to allow a system, and when I say system, I'm talking about two wings to the same bird. I refuse to allow some governmental system that is ultimately being controlled by elites and shadow government, somebody up much higher, somebody much higher in control of everything, pulling the strings. I refuse to allow this stuff to divide the church. And you should not allow this to divide you. And I want to say this in closing. This is my closing thoughts on this. When you stand for the word of God, for the moral values, you stand for the sanctity of life, you stand for the sanctity of marriage, you stand on these values, you stand on these things, and you don't compromise, it will cost you. And let's take it another step further. Let's add another one. If you stand with the nation of Israel. Listen, if you didn't ruffle feathers on your stance of the sanctity of marriage, and you didn't ruffle feathers on the sanctity of life, if you say you support the nation of Israel, watch all the feathers that you ruffle. Look, watch the people that you stir up. Look, watch for the hornet's nest you stir up. But you've got to make, listen, you've got to make up your mind right now. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And if God says, I've made a covenant with the nation of Israel, and I will put a blessing upon those who bless Israel, and I'll put a curse upon those who curse Israel, I think it would be in our best interest. We may not agree with everything Israel does politically. Is there wicked people in government there? Absolutely. Is there wicked men in Israel that perform wicked things? Absolutely. That's with any government. But again, the nation of Israel has a covenant with God, and he has warned us in his scriptures of the repercussions. If we stand against Israel and we curse Israel, we forget Israel, we shun evil, we give a cold shoulder to the nation of Israel, it will not go over well with that nation and its leadership and its existence. So this is something, again, we need to be very concerned about this, especially in the direction that we're headed. We don't know officially yet who the next president of the United States is going to be. Again, on the Republican side, we know that Trump is the candidate. On the Democratic side right now, it looks to be, again, Kamala Harris. We see her stance. Where she stands with Israel. Listen, go do your research. You'll discover more about this and you'll get more details on this. But again, this is of great concern to me. Knowing what I know about the Bible and the warnings given to nations and their leaders on their treatment of Israel, this is why it's of a great concern. Okay, that's one. Number two, guys, don't let politics destroy your home, destroy your marriage, destroy your friendships, destroy your neighbors, your relationship with your neighbors. This is why, listen, we're called to preach the gospel. We're called to be light. We're called to be salt. But when it comes to politics, this is what I've always said, guys. If the hill that I'm going to die on is not going to be for the donkeys or for the elephants or for the Republicans or for the GOP, I'm not going to die on the hill of politics. That's not the hill I'm going to die on. In other words, I'm not going to put my neck on the line and be, if I'm going to be persecuted for something, it's going to be for Jesus. It's going to be for my unapologetic stance with Christ, with the Word of God and what it states. Okay. Not for a political party. That's where I stand. Okay. I'm just telling you right now, that's not the hill I'm going to die on, is the hill of politics. If I'm going to be persecuted for anything, it's going to be for the sake of Christ and the gospel. Come on. Do you understand what I'm telling you today? Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, that's going to be our main website right there on your screen. Is our free app. You can download it today by going to your Play Store or under the description of this video. If you're watching by Rumble or by YouTube, there's a link that says download our free app. If you'll just click on that and then hit push yes. If you'll just hit yes to push notifications, excuse me, then you're going to be notified of every headline, every podcast when it is readily available. And again, of course, guys, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, informs you, equips you, all of the above, and you like to partner with our ministry, there's two different ways you can do that electronically. And there's many different ways you can do this, guys. You can give by major credit card. You can give through PayPal, Venmo, Cash App. You can give by Apple Pay. All these different methods are there. You can give by the main website. Just go click there or through the app, excuse me, the website or the app. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that up right there on your screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you coming on this week of podcast. We are at Friday. That means we'll be off this weekend, and Lord willing, we'll be right back here on Monday, the 29th, I believe, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a few days. We'll be shame. How would you like to pass down shame as your legacy? Come on. Nobody wants to do that. So listen, if you like these things, guys, if these kind of teachings are a blessing to you, and you like, you want to share these with your sons or your daughters, listen, my 9-year-old, I preach to him like you're hearing this. And you say, wait a minute, he's 9 years old. I know. And listen, I throw him out in the deep water. We don't put water wings on him. We throw him right on the deep. And we'll have to stop every verse and we have to break it down and dissect it. It's okay. Listen, well, Brother Ricky, he's on the bottle. He can't eat steak. I know. So you know what I do? If I've got to, I'll cut that steak up in little bitty pieces, or I'll put it in a blender and I'll make it palatable for him to be able to comprehend it. But you know what? You'd be shocked at 9 years old what he knows about the Word of God that other 9-year-olds don't. And listen, don't judge me. This is how I'm training up my child. But my 16-year-old, because we did him that way when he was 9 years old, and now he's 16 years old, and I'm telling you, that boy is got the discernment of the Lord, and he can discern things, and I thank God for that. And again, what we're doing is training up our children in the way in which they should go, that when they're older, we're training them, come on guys, in the ways of the Lord, that when they're older, they shall not depart from it. So listen, if you like these kind of equipping messages for your kids, your grandchildren, let me know in the comment section below. I know we've went over a little bit today, but let me know, give me your comments, give me your feedback. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, don't forget to get your app today, Android, Apple, download it. Yes, to push notifications, all there, good to go. If this ministry's blessed you, encouraged you, equipped you, informed you, all the above, listen, I don't know your relationship with this ministry, but I would ask that you pray about becoming a partner of our ministry. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app right there on the screen, or go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can give by check or money order, and you can simply make that out to Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, it's Thursday, July 25th. We'll be back here. We plan on it, Lord willing, tomorrow, the 26th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We've got, I think I know what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, but I don't want to announce it yet. I'll announce it tomorrow, but please try to check that out if you can. So until we see you guys tomorrow night, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you in Jesus' name. See you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.